a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
South Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, producer Ramona?
Great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm pretty good. I'm wonderful. Thanks
good.
For asking. You know, I never give free shout outs on air ever, but I'm going to because you know my property from Helene was just a disaster, right? And so. You know, initially I had a bunch of work done just to be able to get in and out of my property, but my woods had become uglified, and I have a long driveway, and it was just a disaster. So I had Molina's Tree Service from Greenville come in, and I thought this would take like weeks, right? And I needed to transfer money at some point to pay for the bill for this deal. These people did the job in one day. One day. And I'm just astonished. So shout out to those good people. They really did incredible work by me. I didn't think my property could ever look right again. It does. Lots to get to today. A lot of college football talk. I saw a list of like 10 key questions for SEC Media Days. We'll get into that list. Most interesting teams, we'll continue that conversation today. I want to talk a little bit about the toughest schedules in college football today. You know, I was talking to Kwok about a couple things during the break, and he asked me about this conversation apparently they were having about, you know, South Carolina. Can South Carolina win a title? And I said, yeah, I mean, and you know, I heard a little bit of that, and I heard Ben bring up Washington and TCU, and obviously those teams didn't win titles, but they were close, and they got to the game, and so my answer would be absolutely, South Carolina could win a title. I mean, look, listen, here's another thing: South Carolina has won two of the last three versus Clemson, and no one talks about this. It's sort of out of sight, out of mind, but. What if that becomes 3 of 4 this year? You know, that's sort of a big game, maybe a bigger game than it usually is at the end of this season. You know, we'll see. But yeah, look, I think you look at some of those teams Spurrier had, and they were unbelievable. Well, no one said this year, first of all. But I think the defense for Carolina is going to be much better than people think. I've done the work. I've evaluated every player. So I don't think they have lost too much. But the question wasn't about this year. The question was about can South Carolina win a title? And can you win a title at South Carolina more specifically? I think the answer is 100% yes. And, you know, and as far as Lenore Sellers is concerned, you know, I think people ought to remember that what you ought to be comparing with Lenore Sellers last year was to Cade Klubnik's season 2 years ago. That's the comp. It's not Lenora Steller's last year in year one as a redshirt freshman starter versus Cade Klubnik's season last year. It's Lenora Steller's season last year versus Cade's season 2 years ago, which was an unmitigated disaster. And Sellers was way better. I mean, Sellers completed 63% of his passes playing in the SEC and averaged like 10 yards an attempt, a lot of vertical passing game, and played really well most of the season. That was not the case with Cade 2 years ago. But that's the comp in those two guys, the time frame comp with those two guys. Cade obviously got much better in his second year as a full-time starter. I think you have to assume that Lenora Sellers is going to get much better in his second year as a full-time starter. Much better. And if he gets much better than he was last year, then the whole nation's got a problem. Because if that dude gets a lot better than he was in year one as a starter, well, then year two, he's going to be incredible. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's the reality of it. Texted, absolutely. I think South Carolina isn't as far as people think they are. I also think Georgia and Bama's are falling off a step, and that helps teams like the Gamecocks. Right. You know, and look, that's honestly, that's the way football's always worked. You know, you win a title generally when you're better than you normally are and other people around you aren't as good as they normally are. That's not new. That's the way it's always been. Always. That's how you win a title. It takes a lot of things to win a national championship, and maybe more now than ever. I think the path to winning a national championship is now more difficult than it has ever been before. So, yeah. Mr. B says, redshirt sophomore slump. Calling it now. Well, hoping it now because the kid's good, really good. Right, right. I think he's too good, and I think he's worked too hard. You know, he worked with Ramon Robinson in the offseason, who's an elite quarterback coach. And obviously, you know, I think like Cade Klubnik, I think Lenore Sellers is made of the right stuff. You know, I think he wants to be good. I think he wants to get better. I think he wants to be great. And I think that's what he's going to do. So, you know, if you look at the jump that Cade made from year one as a starter to year two, if you put that kind of jump in for Lenore Sellers, he's going to be the best quarterback in America. So we'll see. You know, I think that's the reality. So lots to get to. Tesh said, is Walt talking about women's basketball or equestrian? Is he talking football titles? Again, it wasn't my conversation. It was a conversation that Kwok and Ben evidently had. And I think the answer is obviously yes. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that in the right year, in the right situation, with the right quarterback, that South Carolina could win a national title. I don't. I think they could. And I think other teams like South Carolina could as well. I don't think this is limited to them. Again, we almost saw Washington win a national title. We saw TCU get to the game. So these things can happen. Yeah. I mean, and again, given Sellers' ability, you know, we'll see. Texas said, yes, I think South Carolina is the most dangerous team on the schedule. How about that? See, that goes back to what I'm talking about. I've not heard anybody talk about this. I've not heard anybody talk about the fact South Carolina's won two of the last three from Clemson, and if they win this year, it'll be three of the last four. That's a very big game this year. Bigger than usual. Because if Beamer ever gets on top winning three of four, you know he's selling that. He's already selling the 2 of 3 thing. You know he's selling 3 of 4 if you get to that. And with good reason. So, you know, look, all things are possible, and I think it's become more difficult. And look, the other thing is this. The reality is, you know, we look at this, the SEC as a juggernaut, and the expanded SEC is certainly supposed to be a juggernaut, but it wasn't the last 2 years, was it? Last 2 years, there's been no juggernauting for the SEC. They've sort of sucked. I mean, by historical standards. I mean, and, you know, their best team was Texas. And, you know, they bought them. But the league, I mean, Georgia flunked the last 2 years. As prohibitive preseason national championship favorite. They flunked. Alabama flunked. Right? LSU's been eh. Eh. So, I mean, who's been any good in that league the last 2 years? The answer, I guess, last year anyway, was Texas. You know, they're the one that had the best chance at the end of the day. But it's not like the league is invincible. It's not like you look at Georgia right now and say, well, they're invincible. They're not. I mean, South Carolina plays Georgia on a neutral field right now. Who wins? I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, I think that the Gamecocks are getting better. There's no question about that. And they're getting better under Shane Beamer. He's done a nice job. I mean, that's the reality. I have people ask me why Alabama's getting so much hype. I don't know. It's Alabama. It's Kalen DeBoer. You know, he's an alleged legend. They have a great receiving core that they've done. They brought back their offensive coordinator and Grubbs from Washington. I would guess that those are the reasons. The dilemma for me is that I think the schedule is tough, especially the second half of it. I think the defense does not have any obvious standouts. They have some wishful thinking guys, and I think they have a wishful thinking situation at quarterback. You know, I read something today that said, well, you know, Alabama's much more talented than they were last year. How do you figure? I mean, you know, I think in certain spots they are, but overall are they? Look, again, like I said, when you think about the recent history of Alabama under Nick Saban, show me a time frame show me a year where you didn't know an Alabama defensive player or two. Even if you're just a casual football fan, you did. You basically always did. But this year, even if you're sort of a purist, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to name Alabama starting defensive players. And, you know, they think that they played four freshmen a lot last year. They think that those guys are going to – and maybe they will. Maybe they will. But it's still a bit of a reach at this point. Still a bit of a reach. And I don't know what they are, but I don't have big aspirations for Alabama this year. And my other thing is this. If this thing goes sideways on DeBoer, is DeBoer still there next year? And by sideways, I mean 8-4. If he goes 8-4, see, you know, look, there was a lot of history where Alabama sucked and it didn't matter. You know, they had all the Mikes. Mike DeBose, Mike Shula, Mike a.k.a. Dennis Franchione. You know, Mike Price, he of the D. Snyder stripper fame. I mean, you know, it's always been this. And I just think that there was a lot of period of time where they stunk. But since Saban elevated the whole situation, I don't think they're willing to accept that anymore. You know, the natives already seemed uneasy. A lot of unrest in year one under Caleb DeBoer. You know, and that thing did not end well. You know, and yet we're automatically assuming it's going to be remarkably better this year. I just think that's a leap in logic. You know, we'll find out. We'll find out. Texter said, Clemson's 1-2 in the last three games versus South Carolina. Explain that further. And they're 8-2 the last 10 games. Don't tighten the goalpost wall. No one cares. No one cares what happened 7 years ago. We're talking about now. We're talking about now. So, Clemson's dominated the whole history. Everyone's aware of that. But that has nothing to do with now, okay? South Carolina blanking out a one-point win and a three-point win over Clemson due to Clemson coaching malpractice still triggers me bigly. Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there. There's a little bit of that in there, no question. Jay said, Ray and Anderson, concerns with Carolina D, lost a lot. You know, again, I don't think so. I think athletically, this team might be the best-looking team that Beamer has fielded. I think they'd be better than people think, and it may take a little bit of time at the beginning, but I think athletically and eye test-wise, they passed the test. Now, there are going to be some key pieces that have to play well, and we've spoken about them, but we'll see how that all plays out. But again, just to be clear, I'm not saying South Carolina wins the national championship this year. I am saying, look, I've already said that I wouldn't be shocked if they played for an SEC title. I mean, would you be shocked if South Carolina played for an SEC title? You know, I'm not even talking about winning. I'm just talking about playing for it. Would you be stunned? I mean, you know, what would that come down to? We don't know, but, you know, let's say a home game against Oklahoma, a game against Georgia. Like I said, is Georgia unbeatable right now? I don't think so. I mean, they sure haven't looked unbeatable the last 2 years. You know, they didn't look unbeatable when Ole Miss was rubbing their faces in the dirt last year. I mean, they haven't looked very good for the last 2 years, and I've said that. Now, again, I'm actually a little more optimistic about Georgia this year than I was the last 2 years when, you know, the whole world thought they were going to win the national title. I just didn't believe any of that. This year, they're actually more of a wild card to me that could tilt either way. That's why they're on my most interesting team list. So, well, see, Texter asks how good can Brownlow Dindy be? See, I think he's the whole key. Because South Carolina lost a lot at defensive tackle, led by TJ Sanders. But Brownlow Dindy was a highly regarded, highly coveted guy. This is a big athletic guy. The question is, can he stay healthy? He's had an issue staying healthy. If he stays healthy, I think he's actually the real key to the South Carolina defense. Because if he stays healthy, he's going to be a problem, and that's going to open everything up for those linebackers. So, yeah. We have lots to get to. You want in, 654-7627. You can get in and join the conversation.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
The heat is on and your HVAC system's feeling it. If it's getting up there in age, now's the time to call Blue Ridge Heating and Air. They offer free estimates, and when Mark, their friendly field supervisor, stops by, he'll bring you a bottle of their signature hot sauce furnace fuel. It's spicy and free. You could qualify for federal tax credits, local utility rebates, and they offer financing too. Plus, save $400 with their system replacement coupon. Just call or book online at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab 2 for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Discover the transformation your home deserves with East Main Furniture. Our selection ranges from cozy living room sets, sleek dining room tables, bedroom sets, all designed to make your space uniquely yours. And don't forget about our large inventory of Lazy Boy recliners at great prices. Quality, style, and affordability are our promises to you. So why wait? We have the new room you need. Visit us online at eastmainfurnitureeasley.com and start your home makeover today. Visit us at 829 East Main Street, Easley. East Main Furniture, where style meets savings.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sports book for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
A fatherless child, a mother who prays the boy won't grow wild. Little song in the night, a ring in Kalamazoo, stands a young man at the crossroads in the book of my blues. In the book of my blues, there's a train called fame, a lot of money and booze, and a line of cocaine.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. Lots to get to. You want to get in on any college football discussion at all, you are welcome to do so. We're talking about a lot of that. Texas says, come on, Walt. Ramona, a cook-off champion. We all know she doesn't cook. No, she used to. She used to. That was a while back. Yeah, that was a while back. But yeah.
I got tired of it.
Yeah, she gave it all up. Yep. But what is this? Sellers in the offense will be better this year. The issue is how much the defense regresses. Yeah, I'm just not sure the defense is going to regress like people think it is. I think athletically, as I said, I think they'd be pretty good. I think it'd be better than people think. And look, they've created turnovers every year. And so that gets to more than luck. You know, for example, I was talking with Kwok during the break about, you know, because I know Kwok earlier was talking about the Clemson defense maybe not as bad as it was, as people thought it was last year, because they created, you know, all these turnovers. And you know, I would suggest to you that felt more like luck than anything else. I think the defense really was bad. I mean, I know that the Clemson defense may have created more turnovers, for example, than Penn State, than Tom Allen did at Penn State, but when we watched Tom Allen's defense, for example, against SMU, they destroyed SMU. They had the quarterback on the run all game long and humiliated them. You know, that same SMU offense put up 500 yards here on Clemson last three quarters. So I think the defense was broken last year, period. And I think a big part of it was Wes Goodwin, and I think some of it was personnel based, but the defense was broken, period. I mean, it was the worst I've seen at Clemson. You know, and I, again, that's what required fixing. Look, that's why change was made. Change wasn't made because Dabo Swinney wants to make change. Change wasn't made because Dabo Swinney wanted to get rid of Wes Goodwin. You know, he wanted the Wes Goodwin thing to work in part because Wes Goodwin was his guy, you know, and it was a bust. It didn't work in any way, shape, or form. There's no way around that. He wasn't cut out to be a defensive coordinator. He's cut out to be an analyst, an assistant, that type of thing. And it failed. You know, and honestly, there wasn't enough on-field leadership with the defense either. We talk about that all the time. You know, you've got to have a guy you can coach hard that leads the way by example. There wasn't enough of any of that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. But the reality is that it was a multi-pronged issue last year. It was Wes Goodwin. It was the lack of a defensive end opposite Parker that was a personnel shortage all year long, started before the year when you had to tinker with moving Peter Woods to the perimeter, which people loved that idea. I had people hearing, I remember hearing people say, well, you know, he'll have 10, 11, 12 sacks. And I was like, no, man, that's just not happening. Because I had watched him play defensive end in high school, and it was obvious to me that wasn't a natural position for him. He did not have a defensive edge rush arsenal of pass rush moves. He didn't. He was best as a three tech inside, and he's best at playing 300 pounds. We haven't seen that at all. So I think we see the remade Peter Woods this year, and maybe we finally see the guy that he was supposed to be. I think that we will. Again, I've begged for that forever. But, you know, he took one for the team in a way, you know, playing defensive end at 325 pounds or 330 or whatever he was. And it, no part of that worked. And then from there, it got worse. And there was a major personnel shortage at defensive end last year. I think in a way there still is. I think that's still an area of concern for me, the depth at defensive end. I don't mean Jags. I mean legitimate depth. I think it's going to be important that Lawson takes a step forward this year. And we'll find out how that plays out. But I think bringing in Will Held is a dramatic upgrade. Now, again, that can all change with one injury. And then you're right back in sort of the same situation you were in. You know, so we'll see, again, how it all develops. But those were the issues, and those issues could not be fixed. You could not fix Wes Goodwin was. You could not fix the fact you did not have a starting caliber defensive end, a ready starting caliber defensive end opposite Parker. You couldn't fix the conditioning level. You couldn't fix the run fits and the gap integrity fails. These are all issues that could not be fixed last year. Now, I think most of those issues are fixed. Now, again, no one's perfect, and there are still some questions. I would not want any injury to one of those starting defensive ends. I would not want that. I would not want to see that because I think you're going to need the health of those guys. But this defense is going to be way better than last year's defense was, no matter what. You know, Tom Allen has made a habit of going into places and fixing things in year one. And I think part of that is he doesn't force too much on his players' plate too soon. You know, he wants his players to play fast right from the start. And these super knowledgeable defensive coordinators like Tom Allen is, a lot of these guys, not him, but a lot of these guys, you know, they have it in their own mind. They know everything, and they do. They have all the knowledge in their own mind, but they can't relay it to college kids because they want to jam it all on their plate at the same time. And frequently, that's not possible. And all you wind up with is you wind up with defensive players who exist in a state of confusion, and then they're slow to react. That's not what Tom Allen does when he goes to a new place or year one. So I think you're going to see a defense that plays fast, that's going to be aggressive, that personnel-wise is better. Again, it wasn't all Wes. The personnel, there were personnel shortcomings last year, in my estimation. Again, I think run around block linebackers, failure to have a defensive end opposite Parker, a shortage that clearly existed all year long. Clemson threw a number of things at it. None of those things worked. I think there were some conditioning issues. I think there were obviously gap integrity, run fit issues that plagued this team all year. I remember saying this early in the season, and people would write me and they say, Walt, this is just the backups. You know, we're way ahead and that's what it is. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think it's the whole team. And it certainly was the whole team, and it lasted all year long. And it didn't get better, it got worse. And like I said, when you can't control the run, then you can't control the football game. You can't control the outcome. And I just think that all of those things are going to be much better this season, much better. And therefore, I do not think Clemson is going to be trucked with regularity this year. Will there be a game or two that somebody runs the ball on them? Sure, that happens to everybody. But I don't think you're going to see Clemson get trucked on a week-by-week basis as this team did a year ago. You know, again, you got to a playoff game against Texas, and the offense gave you a chance to come back and win, but the defense couldn't step up and stop anything, mostly the run. And every time, you know, most notably 11 minutes left, you cut it to 7, and then the defense comes out and immediately gives up an 80-yard touchdown run. That was pretty much the end of the story. And we watched that happen the entire first half. Honestly, the thing that saved Clemson in that game, I thought, was Sarkisian went away from the run a little bit. An injury or two, and he went away from the run a little bit. And I thought that was a mistake on his part because Clemson had shown no ability to stop the run up until then. And that I thought that gave Clemson's offense an opportunity to find some footing, and they did. And they played really well in the second half of that game. I think it all came down to a year-long failure on the defensive side, and it was pretty obvious that change needed to be made. And I do not think the defense was good in any way, shape, or form. I think whatever they did do was primarily lucky, and what they mostly did is got run over. And you can't get run over in football. And I think it's more true right now than it's been at any time in the last 20 years, because the last 2 or 3 years we've seen this blowback in the world of football where again, the run game is back in vogue. Running backs are more popular. We've seen it both collegiately and professionally. The style of play has changed with the advent of two high safety looks a few years back. And so all of a sudden we've seen the run come back. I mean, we watched a Michigan team that was primarily a running team with a defense win a national championship. We just watched an Eagle team that was a run team with a defense win a Super Bowl. You know, and so I think it's obvious that this is the way there is some pushback and some blowback in the way the game is being played. Therefore, you know, you've got to respond accordingly. And you can't just keep getting blown up at the line of scrimmage as Clemson did last year. So I think that a lot of that has been remedied. You know, look, we're not going to know for sure until we see the games played. But I think over the course of a season, you're going to see that this has been remedied. And Tom Allen was the right guy. And, you know, and the impact of Ben Bulwer as well. And quite honestly, I think maybe some more toughness and athleticism on the field at certain spots. So I think that's the case. Texas said, stuff the run against Texas and Louisville, we win both games. Right. And instead, those two teams ran at will. What did Brown alone have over 150 against Clemson? And what did Texas have in that game? 300? 300? What'd they rush for? I don't know. It felt like Clemson never stopped any of it. And like I said, we saw that all year long. So yes, I said it earlier, but I take less turnovers if it means we could stop the run. Right, because run's the whole control of the game. You know, the turnovers thing is frequently a freak of nature. You know, you see teams all the time that one year will create 25 turnovers, then the next year they create, you know, 8. Because it was more luck. It wasn't coached. It wasn't coached turnovers. You do see some situations where, for example, at South Carolina, where they're clearly doing a good job coaching it and they're creating those turnovers every year. But from a Clemson standpoint, you know, last season, there was nothing about that defense that ever made me feel good, ever. I thought I just thought it was the worst defense I've seen at Clemson under Dabo Swinney. I mean, I don't know. You go back to year one or something. I'm talking about, you know, the meat and potatoes of Dabo Swinney. That was the worst defense I've seen. It just they underperformed in almost every area. Almost every area. The defensive line wasn't any good. The linebackers weren't any good. The secondary was meh. And the second half of the year, meh. And that's what we saw all season long. And I don't expect to see that from a Clemson defense. And again, I think an awful lot of it was Wes Goodwin, but it wasn't all him. Some of it was personnel. Some of it was personnel. You know, again, I thought elements of that Texas game were horrifying. I mean, just horrifying. Just obvious. Like I said, I thought Sarkisian was his own worst enemy. I thought he went away from the run at some point. With injuries that they incurred, he should have just stuck running the ball, and the game would have ended, and it would have been they would have never lost control of it. But you know, I thought he gave Clemson a little bit of a window to take advantage, and then I thought Clemson did take advantage, which was pretty good. So you know, from an offensive standpoint, obviously, you know, I thought Cade played his best half of football. I thought the receiver stepped up. I thought the offensive line stepped up and, you know, gave yourself a chance in Austin to come back and win that game. But you just couldn't get any help from the defense. Now, I realized that in the few years prior, the defense could have complained all day that they got no help from the offense, and they would have been right. But that wasn't the case last year. You know, we saw run defense numbers from Clemson that were, well, we had not seen in a long, long, not under this head coach. We had not seen. And so change had to be made. I think it has been made. And I think the defense will be much better as a result. You know, is that all coming together in game one against a prolific LSU team that can throw it and run it? I don't know. You know, we'll see. There'll be some points scored in that game. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
You know, I couldn't stop talking about it to my family and friends. My knees are my trouble spot. But for me to tell them now that I'm doing so much better, they were amazed, and I've been amazed.
QC Kinetics Cellular Therapies. Yes, it is amazing how these non-surgical treatments deliver joint pain relief for patients like Dr. Eric Williams, a successful chiropractor.
Each week, I just started noticing that, you know, I could sleep and not have pain. I could play pickleball. I could do a CrossFit exercise routine.
QC Kinetics revitalizes your joints so you can move again without the pain pills or invasive surgery.
You know, I'm 60 years old, and I want to stay competitive as long as I can. And QC has allowed me to do that. They did me right and really made a difference in my life.
Book your free consultation with QC Kinetics today and experience the difference for yourself.
I like to go, 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 move, move, move.
QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things, people, love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Roar. The only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar. Where every day's game day.
From the morning through the day. On through the night, like the sting or the burning of a slowly turning knife, I ache now just to hold you.
Walt Tibb, Tulip Road Rage, we're back. You know, I hate topic radio, Mona, as you know. I just don't do it. I think it's bad radio. You know, worst kinds of things are, you know, like favorite movie or favorite uniform or Mount the cliche stuff like Mount Rushmore, you know, it's bad. But having said that, I saw an article the other day on the 32 NFL teams Mount Rushmores, and it was an audio. It started out as an article. It morphed into audio, and it was sort of interesting. They did keep in mind all of history, but there were some major flubs in it. But it was still sort of interesting when you look at all 32 NFL teams and the history involved in just picking four players. Because forget the Mount Rushmore part of it. Just look at the four-player part of it. The four-player part, when you take all of your history and you think about the top four players who ever played in your school. And again, to be able to evaluate that, you have to know something about the history, unless you just do it in your time frame, right? And so it's an interesting conversation. And I wound up listening to the whole stinking thing, or the vast majority of it, mainly to argue with it, you know? But you know, I thought it was still an interesting effort on the part of all those teams to try and come up with the four best players in your school's entire history, or in your NFL team's entire history. And that got me thinking about the four best players in Clemson's history, and the four best players in South Carolina's history, and the four best players in Georgia's history, or any other team of any fan base that listens to the show. You know, it's hard when you limit it to four. Like, if we're talking Clemson, all right, who would the four be? I'm not offering any comments on this. I'm going to allow you people, if you want to get in when you call today, if you want to get in on this and give me your four, you're welcome to, for Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia. When you limit that number to four, that's tough. Because, like, at Clemson, you're not just talking about one championship era. You're talking about multiple, two championship eras. You're talking about Dabo Sweeney period, the Danny Ford period. There were great, great players who played in both those time frames, as well as much of the rest of Clemson football history, but in particular, both of those time frames. And when you start limiting it to four, and you don't have any positional favoritism. In other words, like, you don't pick every quarterback, or you don't pick every wide receiver, that you consider that, you know, there were great guys who played defense and defensive line and, you know, an offensive line, maybe not to the same extent, but yeah, you know, it's see, now Texas says Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson are given, right? I don't know. When you think about all the history, again, if you don't use positional favoritism, like, for example, Texter 993 wrote and said Banks. So he's going all the way. He's going all the way back to Banks McFadden, Homer Jordan, Jeff Davis, and Deshaun. So it's interesting, bro, because I had a texter say, "Well, Trevor and Deshaun are givens, right?" And then the very next texter didn't have Trevor on it. So barely not a given. You know, Texter said four is impossible. Yeah, but that's the task. And it's impossible. It's certainly possible for all the NFL teams, right? And yet, you know, they came up with a list. Again, I don't think it was all correct, But I thought it was interesting, you know, and I sort of agree that four is impossible, but, you know, that was the challenge, you know, and I don't want to use the cliche Mount Rushmore stuff, but that was the challenge. And, you know, there are just so many great players in the histories of all those schools, you know, and Clemson and Georgia are loaded with great players. I mean, like even for me to do that, as sick as I am, I would have to really I would really have to think about that in trying to compare, you know, one to another and guys of different eras and understand that the games were different then and the way it was played and all that stuff. It's not easy. It's not very difficult. So I don't know, you know, I don't know who's a given and who isn't. You know, I'm not sure there are givens. Texter gave me the Detroit Lions, Jack Christensen, Calvin Johnson, Joe Schmidt, and Barry Sanders. Well, yeah, those are all good names, but are they the only names? I mean, you know, they had Lem Barney, for example. You know, they had Alex Karras. Now, maybe the gambling thing hurts Alex Karras's perspective, but Mongo has to help it, right? Mongo, because Alex Karras was Mongo Ramona in the Mel Brooks movie Blazing Saddles. Mongo, you know, that doesn't ring any bells.
I've seen Blazing Saddles, but it's
Mongo,
parts of it.
Mongo, the giant doofus guy who was, you know, mauling people. Yes, no. No Mongo?
No.
That's wrong. No Mongo. I don't know. Let's see. Tex says, I suffer from recency bias. Easier to idolize players that we watch win championships. Now, look, I get it. I get it. You're 100% right. Plus, you know, look, for most people, you can only speak to your sort of frame of reference. You can't speak to all of history if you don't know all of history, you know, it's sort of that. I have a South Carolina fan who says George Rogers, Connor Shaw, Stephon Gilmore, and Marcus Lattimore. No Clowney, in that list. How about that? And a lot of other great defensive players left off that list. It's such a difficult call. And again, This was one outfit doing it for all of the National Football League and doing four each. Where again, you know, you're talking about the whole history of the National Football League. A Georgia fan says Herschel, Tarkington, Stetson Bennett, Bowers. That's KT in Athens. Man, you know, again, so many great players. Pretty interesting, though. Pretty interesting. I said, come on, Walt. Can you at least give us one Clemson guy you have 100% on your list? I think that Deshaun Watson has to be on the list. I think he has to be on the list. I would lean towards Trevor having to be on the list, but I would want to think about it more. I would just want to think about it. Mostly, though, I wanted to stay out of the way of this. If I was going to bring this up, I wanted to stay out of the way of it and let you people have at it. So I don't influence the thing at all, because I didn't want to do that. Tess said DJ Swearinger should be on Carolina's. Tess just said Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Travis Etienne, Sammy Watkins. Okay. More of a modern list, but... all obviously historically great players. You know, Don Munson thinks Travis Etienne's the best ACC football player ever. You know, and obviously I thought he would be great coming here, without question. Hey, we appreciate that, Texter. We just got listed on a list of the Roar.
Oh,
but
thanks.
I think that, you know, they listed everybody after us, so they're all there. Everybody's there. Mike in Anderson says, it's a great question, Walt. Walter, I can't say the top four in Tiger history. You've got to go LeVon Kirkland, Michael, Dean Perry, Christian Wilkins. But how in the world could you leave them off of that list? Yeah, I mean, that's the dilemma. The dilemma is the four. You know, the four makes it all but impossible, especially if you just don't take skill position guys. You know, because again, whenever we look, whenever these conversations come up, and it works the same way with the Heisman Trophy, we only talk about skill position guys. We don't talk about anybody who played defense. We act like that side of the ball doesn't count. Trust me, it does. Look at Luka Doncic. It counts. Look at Caitlin Clark. Same deal. Sort of the same player. You know, it other than body weight, it counts. I mean, it's a half of the game. And yet we don't want to act like it counts, you know, but it does. So if you're just like grading people and you're trying to figure it out, would you grade the quarterbacks? Forget the positional priority for a minute. Would you grade the quarterback out higher than you would the defensive tackle, for example? Does the quarterback grade higher than the defensive tackle, or was the defensive tackle a better player? So it's a dilemma. It's just, it's really, really tough. Texas said, I think you have to know the criteria. Ray and Anderson, as an outsider looking at Clemson, I'd say Boyd. I see he's coming as what has, I think your phone messed up. I got a Seminole fan. Fred Biletnikoff, Charlie Ward, Warwick Dunn, Derek Brooks. No Deion? No Deion? I mean, that's a great group. You know, Florida State also had some unbelievable pass rushers that leaves off. That's a great list, though. Again, when you're talking four, it's tough. I got a Benny Cunningham. Benny Cunningham, Brian Dawkins, Deshaun Watson, and Banks McFadden. I've had multiple Banks McFaddens now. So how about that? So we are getting some history on the side. Tessa said, I like to consider players that did more for the program than just playing ball. Oh, he's the one who gave me Banks, Homer, Jeff, and Deshaun. I get that. I mean, it's your deal. You know, again, when you're talking all of history and four players, this is very subjective. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about this? This is a good point, a really good point, because the answer on the NFL one was no. In fact, that was sort of one of my problems with it. Texter asked, do we add coaches? How do you leave Dabo and Venables off the list? This is the thing. The NFL example, they did include coaches. So if you include coaches, now you have to bump players. Now you've got an even bigger problem because, you know, if you put Dabo Swinney in, you know, that type of thing. I mean, you have two head coaches who won national championships. If you put those two guys in, now you have room for two players.
Two slots.
Two slots. It. Yeah, it's not. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. This is wrong. Texas said, are there four great... Oh, no. Okay, I got it. He says, are there four great Carolina Panthers? LOL. Yeah. I mean, you know, it. Who would it start with? Does it start with Luke Kuechly?
B'nai Ben Wickery.
No, it does not start.
Yes, it does.
It does not start with B'nai Ben Wickery. I can promise you that. Cleveland Browns. Somebody gives me Otto Graham, Jim Brown, Paul Warfield, Ozzie Newsome. That's from SC Buckeye fan. That's well done, SC Buckeye fan. By the way, that was one of my major problems with the NFL is they did not have Otto Graham on the Cleveland Browns. Now, I guess they're considering that part of it, his career was prior to the NFL. I don't care. He went to the NFL and did the exact same thing. So that was just dumb. You know, and look, I've said many times, Paul Warfield's like, he's an all-time top five receiver who played for two franchises that basically didn't throw the ball. I mean, he might be top three. I mean, that's how good Warfield was. He's certainly in that mix without question. I don't think anything seems obvious. But Texas says 49ers, Mount Rushmore. Again, we're just saying top four. Seems pretty obvious. Do you agree with Montana, Rice, Lott, and Young? I agree that all four of them are sensational. And, yeah, you can make an argument. Look, Texter 651, who just gave me the 49ers thing, you can make an argument that the four guys you gave me are all top 25 all NFL history players. So, yeah, that's pretty strong without question. But, you know, that franchise had a lot of great players and some before that. You know, John Brody was a great player. John Brody's one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game. I mean, that franchise had a lot of great players all throughout history. But those four names are, I grant you, are hard to top. Banks McFadden is showing up here, Ramona, better than I would have thought. Texas said Panthers, Luke Kuechly, Julius Peppers, Steve Smith, Greg Olsen. It's a good group. That's a good group. I see a point in there. Texas said I'm going Banks McFadden, Steve Fuller, Deshaun Watson, and a player to be named later. I like it. It's interesting because now I have names coming in from all sorts of teams and college, pro, everything else. It's a difficult challenge to pick four from all of your history. Waltip Tula Road Rage, quick break. We'll be right back.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Folks, I think we can all agree America is facing a health crisis. Lots of folks are looking at medication shots and pills to do the trick. But the reality is that the answer is natural. And the answer can be found through our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You're going to drop pounds not only safer, but also faster the natural way. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks without rebound weight gain, without hunger cravings, and without long-term dependency on medications because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life, and I bet you don't either. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team would love to help you. Here's the deal. You can get started right now with a free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment. It takes less than 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how helpful it was for me setting myself up for success in the long term. You'll hold the keys to your personalized metabolic plan in your hand. Don't trade your health for a quick fix. Don't become another statistic. You can do this. Call now for your free body scan, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Hey, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen.